in and welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Tuesday, to get you through this coronavirus crisis. In a world where few things are reliable, we are reliable. It's the Jason Rancho live on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. We got a lot to get to. We only have 2 hours left to do it. Governor Jay Inslee throws a hissy fit in a TV interview where he's arguing with himself. It's bizarre. A restaurant in Port Orchard is opening in defiance of Governor Inslee's order. We're going to get into that. Plus, Representative Luann Van Verven, she's going to join us. She's a Republican from Linden. She's asking the Department of Justice and the Attorney General, Bill Barr, to get involved in what's going on here in Washington State. But will they? We're going to get into that story and so much more. This hour of the Jason Rancho is brought to you by Primary Residential Mortgage, PRMI. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending at home?
Jay Inslee had an embarrassing interview over the weekend with Brandi Crews on Q13. He had a hissy fit in an interview while arguing with himself. Now, yes, Brandi Crews technically was the one conducting the interview, but Governor Inslee keeps up bringing points that no one is making, and he argues with them. He literally argues points that not a single politician is making. You see, Jay Inslee cannot defend his policies. When it comes to the stay-at-home order, you know this, they've been so incredibly inconsistent. He cannot defend the policies because they're not based in science or data. He wants to give the illusion that they are. Look at my dials. Look, the dial is turned all the way to the right. Is that bad or good? It's bad? No, it's in the middle. Okay, look at the dials. Data science, data science. He'll say it many, many, many times, hoping that you will confuse the words science and data for actual science and data. And so, since he cannot defend his policies, he sets up and debates straw man arguments. He's making straw man arguments. Because literally, no one is saying it. We can call them straw men. Listen to this.
I have some of politicians saying, oh, these are, you know, most of the people are over the age of 60 who lose their lives. So we just really shouldn't worry about that too much. I take extreme exception to that position. I believe that it is not consistent with any version of humanity. And as a 69-year-old, I believe 69-year-olds can be actually productive.
Okay. Who's saying that? Who's saying that? Listen to this.
I have some of politicians saying, oh, these are, you know, most of the people are over the age of 60 who lose their lives. So we just really shouldn't worry about that too much.
Who's saying that? Who are the politicians? He doesn't say a name ever. He's done this in the past. He doesn't actually name anyone. Why don't you think he names anyone? They'll name Matt Shea, state representative from Spokane Valley. They'll name him in a heartbeat because he has a whole bunch of controversy attached to his name. They'll name him and they'll call it out. Why don't you think he's naming a single Republican lawmaker? It's because they don't exist. This is a trick. He wants you to hear him as this values-based governor. He cares about your life. So he sets up a phony argument that if one were to take, it would make that person sound heartless, then push back and say that he is not heartless. It's very, very easy to do. Here's an example. There are some people out there who hate Jews, and they're lawmakers who say, I should not have the right to be a radio talk show host because I'm Jewish. I think that's despicable. I think that's bigoted. And I don't stand for that bigotry. I stand for acceptance, be it of a Jew, of a Muslim, of a Christian, or of an atheist. See how it works? You set up an argument that no one's making, you call it out as despicable, and then you present yourself as the hero. Now, in this case, Brandi Crews called him out very, very quickly. She said, that's not what people are saying. And then she points out the folks that are saying something somewhat similar to what he's trying to present, but he's presenting it in a dishonest way. She says, hey, there are people who are out there who are saying, hey, let's use the science, let's use the data to have stricter isolation in the demographic most at risk of mortality due to the coronavirus crisis, while slowly reopening the economy for people who are not going to be hit as hard. In other words, if you're 80 years old, and you've got a heart condition, knowing that you're at a higher risk of dying as a result of the coronavirus, we will isolate you a little bit harsher than we would some 43-year-old who's otherwise healthy. Should both be subject to the exact same strict isolation, especially in a world where the economy tanks? Or can we use that thing you talk about all the time without actually citing science and data to say, hey, that 43-year-old, we're going to put in them in a position to be safe and responsible, but we're going to let that person go back to work. And that 80-year-old who's dealing with that heart condition, we're going to work even harder to keep that person safe. It's temporary. It's temporary. We don't want to keep you locked up without any social interaction for the rest of your life. But we understand we can't keep the entire economy closed, and we have to understand that the virus impacts people differently. Here in Washington State, 90% of the deaths are over the age of 60. And of that, half are over the age of 80. We know that the coronavirus deaths, 60% of them happen at elder care facilities. Does that not inform the debate just a little bit, Jay Inslee? No, he doesn't think so. He can't respond to that. He doesn't have a reasonable response. And so when Brandi Crews brings that up, he again starts to argue a point literally no one is making.
Well, in any real assessment, if people are being realistic with themselves, they realize that's impossible. We're not going to take people once they reach age 65 and put them on a desert island alone, segregated forever from our society.
Well, no one's talking about a desert island.
I mean, just like, that. Who said anything close to that? And then, by the way, he went from 60 to 65. Just throwing that out there. Who's saying put people on a desert island? Who's saying that? I get that maybe he's trying to use a metaphor in a clunky way, but he doubles down.
That is not what I'm telling you is, no, we're not going to permanently tell people over the age of 60 or 65 that they're no longer part of our community.
Well, it's not permanent. I don't know that anybody's saying permanent.
And, you know, good for her for saying, again, you just keep bringing up stuff no one is arguing. Has anyone said permanently keep 60-plus-year-olds away? Permanently. Once we have a cure. Well, not, and I'm not even talking about a vaccine. Once we have a cure, let's just keep them locked up in a basement. Or I guess on an island somewhere, not McNeil, but some island somewhere. Who is saying that? And he's starting to get mad. You can see it in his eyes. You can see it. He's getting pissed off. He doesn't like to be questioned. He likes the press briefings where he takes questions so he can say, I'm taking questions from the press. But he only takes one question and he doesn't allow any follow-ups.
I would like to have a discussion. I would like to finish my...
Yeah, I just want to make sure we're not using hyperbole. We're talking about, is it possible to take reasonable measures to try to help protect that population?
My answer...
Sure, go ahead, sir.
Please. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Thank you. I have something to say here.
He has something to
say. You may not agree with it. That may be possible.
Well, it's not about agreeing or disagreeing.
And by the way, it may be possible you disagree with me. Yeah, it may be possible. It's likely. You see, just because you hold a position doesn't mean everyone's going to agree with you. I know you like to surround yourself with yes people. I know you love to surround yourself in that little echo chamber of yours in Olympia. But it is possible for some people to disagree.
You may not agree with it. That may be possible.
Well, it's not about agreeing or disagreeing. It's just about making sure that we press you on every step and every decision you make. It's our job.
Here's the situation, Brandi. I don't know if you have older people in your life or not, but the alternative of trying to tell those people that they cannot socialize with you for the rest of their life is just not tenable.
He never stops. He just triples down at that point. I would love to hear the quote from someone saying, for the rest of their lives, we need to keep old people away. I want to hear from that person so I can shame them, because that's stupid. I will go after that person the same way I go after TV's dumbest comedian, Joy Behar, or TV's dumbest lawyer, Sonny Hostin. I will happily go after that person. I've literally not heard a single person say that. And by the way, even just going on Twitter trying to see someone, everything's on Twitter. I can't find that person. I'm sure there's got to be some crank out there who's saying it. Point me to that person. No one is taking that position, but that's the only thing he can argue. There was a moment as I was watching this from Brandi Cruz on Q13. And again, kudos to my friend for a very good interview. There was a moment where I genuinely felt bad for Jay Inslee. And this is not me being snarky or smartass. I was genuinely feeling bad about something he said there. I don't feel bad that he doesn't know what he's doing, that he's in over his head. That's not what I'm talking about. Because that, if I'm being honest, completely scares me that he's in over his head. I felt bad because I think the argument that he was having with himself is pretty revealing. He mentioned that he's 69 years old in the same sentence of saying it's not tenable for us to tell a 69-year-old that you're no longer worthy. And I'm wondering if this is his, in a way, talk therapy, that as a 69-year-old, he maybe is taking this personally, that people might not think he is worthy. That as a 69-year-old, we should be putting him on some island. Again, not McNeil. We'll give him a good island, I guess, Vashon, Bainbridge. There's plenty to choose from. And I'm wondering if that's really what this is about. He feels like he, as a 69-year-old, is being pushed out to pasture. Because I don't know if he's going to win re-election. I certainly hope he doesn't. But this is Washington State, so the odds are in his favor. I can only assume, regardless of what happens, Washington history is not going to remember who Jay Inslee is. They're not. As a presidential candidate, people already forgot that he ran. People didn't even know that he was running for president. I'm assuming as governor of Washington State, he's not going to be remembered. And it might feel like he's already been sent to that desert island, unable to socialize with anyone ever again. And that made me feel sad for him. But then I remembered he's a partisan hack and we're worse off as a result of his leadership. And we say leadership in air quotes. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Big picture.
So a white dude might be responsible for 3 anti-Asian crimes in Ballard. I'm actually not certain all of them are crimes. Certainly harassment that's based, it appears, on the perception of someone being Chinese. I'm also wondering if he's homeless, just because there's been a huge amount of homeless hate crimes recently that aren't really being reported. We'll just say, oh, there's a hate crime in Seattle that was anti-Asian. Well, it was committed by homeless people, and I don't know why you don't mention that. This guy was caught on video. He was harassing people at a restaurant, a Thai restaurant, which is not Chinese. Just throwing that out there.
Very different.
I mean, and it's not like they can say, oh, well, the food kind of looks similar. It's the name of the restaurant literally says Thai in it. It's Thai Tani Restaurant. He was harassing people there. He apparently spit in the face of an Asian man near Golden Gardens Park the other day. So he's tied, they believe, the SPD, to a whole bunch of different instances. Natia Chumdi was working at this Thai restaurant when this altercation took place and says the man was trying to figure out where she was from.
Starting asked, like, are you Chinese? Like, asking me, am I Chinese? And then I said, no, I'm not. I'm Thai.
And I guess he didn't care. He decided to harass them anyway. And she's just going about her day. She doesn't want to be harassed.
It just happened. It's never happened, you know, something like this happened to me before. Right now, I just feel like I just want to stay safe, you know. I didn't walk much on the street right now because, you know, we are Asian and then we don't know that, you know, where you're from, who you are, and then what you're going to do.
So that legitimately makes me feel bad because the facts of the matter are this. Asians are not subject to any meaningful increase in hate crimes. Not to the point where it's legitimately unsafe to walk the streets of Seattle or Everett or Tacoma. Now, she feels this way because she was a personal victim. I understand that. She gets a pass for that feeling. But others should not feel that way. Peyton should not feel that way as our token Asian. It's not my fault. I don't have another Asian who I can point to directly.
It's all right. I'll be the token Asian.
I'm the token Jew and the token gay so many times. You can be the token Asian for this.
I said I'm okay with it.
Is anyone in your family the victims of this? I mean, has anyone felt bad as a result of this?
My grandma doesn't leave the house, so.
Well, she was a shut-in from the beginning. You can't blame her.
No, nothing related to this. She's just like 94. She can't leave the house.
I feel bad for folks who hold this position the same way I feel bad for gays or blacks or Latinos or anyone who feels like because someone with a political agenda is telling them that they're in danger, they're not. You're not in any more danger today than you were 2 months ago or 3 months ago. And I do think it's important to point out that a disproportionate number of the crimes that are being committed are by homeless people. We talked about it last week. One incident saw a man, quote, described as having white grocery bags tied around his neck and as possibly homeless. He's homeless. Angrily telling an Asian woman, it's caused by you. Now, was it any less scary for her? No. But it's a homeless person who's dealing with a mental illness. Another one was, quote, extremely intoxicated. Homeless man shouting slurs at Asian passerbys while swinging his cane at them. He was arrested but not booked because of, oh yeah, the coronavirus policy that we have in the books. David Bowes covered a little bit of this on Friday. You had Renton police showing up to, what was the name of the store?
Wajimaya.
That one. I have been saying it wrong my entire life. I was always saying Wajimaya. What is it?
Wajimaya.
Wajimaya. Someone was outside. He was upset that he was told to wear a mask. He didn't. He said, oh, I'm going to come back and I'm going to shoot everyone. Now, good news, he did not do that, but he did return with a machete. Now, according to the Renton police, dude is homeless. He was staying at the nearby Red Lion Hotel that King County recently converted into a homeless shelter. That seems kind of important, but what will they have you believe in the media? Just a bunch of white dudes. Because white people are the problem. They're always racist. Every single one of them. 100%. You should be terrified of them. They're the ones coming after you. Because it feeds a very specific agenda. They don't want you to know that they're homeless. They don't want you to know that. Because if you were to know that, maybe you would think a little bit differently, like saying, hey, why are the homeless out there just doing whatever it is they want to do? Doesn't seem right. You're not being targeted the way that they want you to believe. Remember that story last week of, what was his name, Kurt Lynn? He got into some sort of altercation with a man at the Home Depot parking lot in Seattle, SoDo. And now it's being used. I saw Cairo 7 using this story to, in an argument about an increase in anti-Asian hate crimes that are related to the coronavirus. His story has nothing whatsoever to do with the coronavirus. His story has nothing to do with the coronavirus at all. He said that a white man in a truck called him the C word, an anti-Chinese slur, which is that used a lot anymore? I haven't heard that. Is it?
Yes.
I guess I have good friends because I never hear that word. So he was accused of using that. Okay. So he calls the cops. He's mad that the cops said that it wasn't illegal. And by the way, it's not illegal. Now, I reported exclusively about what I heard was in the incident report. Well, I got the incident report over the weekend. Not only is all of my reporting 100% accurate, but there's a little bit of a twist. Remember when I said originally the guy did not say he was called the C word, and that was a little bit confusing to me because if you're going to call the cops due to a bigotry incident, a bigoted incident, you would probably lead with that. It's kind of weird. So I was told that the guy made that report at some point later. Again, I'm presuming either over email or a phone call. I haven't gotten that information yet. In the report, the guy who supposedly used the C word said not only did he not do that, but it was Kurt Lynn who used a slur against him, calling him a white bastard. Now, I said this whole time, this guy just seems a little activist-y. Like there's just some part of this story that just screams activism. I have no reason to believe that the white dude is telling the truth. I also have no reason to believe or disbelieve the Asian guy. So right now it's he said, except we know this. This had nothing to do with the coronavirus. It 100% had to do with the belief that he got cut off while driving. And that's where this came from. And it plays into the stereotype about Asians not being able to drive. He played into that. And that's where the bigoted commentary comes from. But this had nothing to do with the coronavirus. Why is the media using this to claim that this is another example of an anti-Asian hate crime in the world of COVID-19? It has nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that whatsoever. And you just wait until I get that body cam footage. Because then I'll know for certain whether or not this guy said he was called the C word at that point, or waited until after. And I'm comfortable saying this. If he did not report the slur at the time that he had the cop in front of him, I don't believe him. I'm going on record now. That's the reason why you called 911, is because you were the victim of a hate crime, or you believed it wasn't a crime. You should lead with that.
It's a good lead.
That's what you lead with. If I get a threatening phone call, or I get cut off and someone says, hey, you, and they use an anti-gay or anti-Jewish slur, I'm going to mention that right at the top. I say, this guy threatened me and he called me the K word. Do you know what the K word is?
I am aware what the K word is.
Oh, because you have bad friends.
I will
not
say it.
Your friends are all anti-Semites.
I will not say it on radio.
No, I wasn't asking you to say it. I was all like, I haven't heard the C word be used in a long time. Except in this story. And you say it's said all the time. You're surrounded by horrible people. And then I said, do you know what the K word is? Which is an anti-Semitic slur. And you quickly said, oh, I know what it is. You laughed about it, it seemed like. Like, you use it all the time.
I'm aware of what the word is.
Horrible people.
Because I watch horrible television. Blame the television.
What show was the K word used in?
It's the new one on HBO with, I can't remember what the name of it is, but it's an alternate universe where the Nazis win the war.
Yeah, that was a good show. That was,
Man in the High Tower.
That's on Amazon. That's a different one. This is based on a Philip Roth book.
Yeah, what's the name?
I can't remember, but it's a very good show. Despite all the weirdly over-the-top Trump stuff, slick stuff. You're listening to the Jason Rancho.
Bellingham, Bellevue, Shoreline, Tacoma.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rance Show.
Olympia, Everett, Mercer Island.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at the time. It's 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. It means it's time for the Big Local, where we completely ignore stories out of Seattle, because the media is already hyper-focused on Seattle. And we spend it talking about the communities you live in and care about most. And we start out in Port Orchard, where they have a lot of folks there feeling pretty much the same thing a lot of us are feeling right now, which is simply, I kind of want to go out to a restaurant to eat.
We eat out a lot. I really miss sitting at the table and having like hot food brought to me and not having to drive it home.
I mean, you could make hot food at home, but fair enough. I am in a similar position than she is. I love going out to nice restaurants or new restaurants, checking it out, talking with friends. You haven't been able to do that. And so according to Q13, they say that one place diner out in Port Orchard, that's the name of it. I'm not saying it's that one place. It's called that one place diner.
Wait, you really can't remember the name of it right now?
No. It's the name is that one place diner.
I know.
That one place diner.
I hear what you're saying, but you just don't remember the name. We just talked about how good your memory was off air.
That one place diner.
Yeah, that one place. I know.
That's the name.
That's what I always say when I can't think of the name. What's the name? You have to start the story with the name of the diner, Jason.
I said that one place diner.
Yeah, trust me. I don't know the name of the diner. I've never been there.
No.
And that's what I say when I don't know what the name of the restaurant. You know,
The name of the diner is that one place diner.
That one place?
That one place diner.
That's the name of the diner.
That's the name. Got it?
This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
Oh, shut up. I like this place. They decided to open in violation of the stay-at-home order. Kitsap County is, of course, eligible to submit a Phase 2 plan. But Craig Kennedy, the owner of that one place diner, which is the name of the diner.
Who's on first?
Let's not do that bit again. You're going to kill me. He's all like, I'm done waiting. We have to open.
And I'm sorry. My employees and their employees and their employees, we all need a set date.
Yeah.
We have to have a date. If we had that date, this wouldn't even be an issue.
Now, what's interesting in this case is he hires mostly from the DOC, the Department of Corrections. They've got a work release program. They also have a substance abuse recovery program, and in a lot of cases, these people overlap, so they are folks who were dealing at one point with an addiction. Maybe it got them onto that wrong path where they ended up in jail. He hires folks from that program, and he says the reopening is about them.
I've lost 4 employees back to addiction over that, and that, to me, is far more real than 7 cases spread out through our county. They might not be dying from that, but it's as close to death, I feel, as COVID sometimes. And we just don't want to lose another one.
Now, they're doing things in as responsible a way as possible. They normally have 350 seats there. They're only opening 125. They took out a whole bunch of tables. They're now all 6 feet apart. The staff there, they're wearing masks. They're doing things in a county that has a low death and infection rate. They are doing this to make a point.
If they insist we shut down, we'll shut down. It's just about making a statement is all.
He's making a statement, and his statement is the right one, which is, it is time to turn this economy back on. It is time to safely and responsibly open doors to our restaurants, to our barbershops, to our accounting offices, to our barbershops again, to lawyers' offices, to our barbershops again, to some more restaurants, but also to our barbershops. It is time to open them back up. Not just because I need a haircut, but because people are suffering. They need to work. And people, frankly, they need to get out of the house.
It's just the freedom of getting back out and getting back to as close to normal as we can. You know, it's everybody's going stir crazy.
So hopefully this ends well for them. Good for them. Good for that one place diner in Port Orchard. Don't do it. The Puyallup Fair has not been canceled. And no, I'm not going to call it the Washington State Fair. I'm not going to. It's do the Puyallup.
I'm with you. I Puyallup will not. Fair. I will not argue you.
I refuse.
That.
So don't send me an email, press people from the Puyallup Fair. That's what it will always be named. They are actually moving forward, planning to open September 4th through the 27th. Now, obviously, there are going to be some modifications. Those are TBD. We don't know what they look like yet, nor should we at this point know what they look like, because we don't know where we're going to be in September. Obviously, the hope is that we're going to be a long way away from where we are right now. Maybe that still means you're wearing a mask. I'm assuming you're going to have Purell stations all over the place. But they are saying, according to this press release that was printed on Cairo 7 TV's website, they say the Washington State Fair will voluntarily assume all risks related to exposure of the virus. You will voluntarily assume, meaning they're going to treat you like an adult. Now, when you go to the Puyallup Fair, there's already a chance you're going to catch, you know, scurvy from one of the pigs, but also not the person who's eating the butter that's deep fried, the literal pig that they have there.
Like
not
at the scurvy, at the petting whatever. Zoo?
Yeah, that thing. I am so glad that they decided not to do some digital version. You know how we talked about the tulips? The tulip festival was going online, which is just sound, you're just looking at photos of tulips, which...
Yeah,
it sounds
Google
horrible.
Images.
It just, yeah, it turns out every day's Tulip Festival when you can Google. And so I was hoping that they would stay open. Not that I enjoy the Puyallup Fair anymore, because again, the only reason you go is to get one of those monster burger things, and I forget what they called.
Monster burgers, or no, earthquake burgers. Sorry,
burgers, and their scones, which are amazing, but you can get them now at like grocery stores, I think. And then you would go there and you would look at some of the rides and say, that doesn't look safe, even though it clearly is. But you say, nope, not going to go on it because it doesn't look safe. Then you look at the pig and then you point about how fat it is. And you're like, that's a gross pig. I'm hungry. And then you go eat one of the burgers. Other than that, I don't really enjoy the Puyallup Fair anyway. It's just not my jam. But I feared they would do it online, which just sounds awful. Like here's a picture of a cow.
And then what? Do their concert series online or something?
Maybe. The concert series could actually work. Online.
Here's a virtual roller coaster.
Yeah, it could work on the VR. What's that stupid VR thing?
Oculus.
Oculus that no one has, but everyone thinks is cool, and I doubt it's as cool, because if it was that cool, I'd have one. Finally, there's some businesses that are booming right now, despite the shutdown. And it's not the businesses that are opening illegally like the Stag in Snohomish. In this case, it's a Tacoma bookstore called King's Books. I'm not saying the name of this owner.
Say it.
No, I'm not going to say it.
Say it.
His name, I guess, is Sweet Pea, or her name is Sweet Pea Flaherty. Sweet Pea?
Sweet Pea.
But they put it in quotations, and it's not capitalized.
No, I put it in quotations for you, because I figured
you'd... Is it capitalized?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes, that's on me for just not capitalizing
it. So is Sweet Pea her real name?
I don't know. I didn't run a background check.
You put it in
I didn't run a...
Points because like it was a nickname.
Because I know you would have said, why'd you write Sweet Pea before this name?
Well, Sweet Pea says that business is booming, according to Q13.
Actually doing a robust amount of business, surprisingly. We've been shipping orders since March and then just started curbside pickup this week.
I wouldn't presume that a bookstore would see a surprising increase in customers. I mean, right now, what do people... want to do, kind of escape the bad news. Now, granted, people will first turn probably to a Netflix or a Hulu or something, but even then, you know, you're getting a little bit bored. It's not like we're getting that much new TV content or movie content. And so you're like, oh, you know what? Now I have some time. I'm going to read a nice book. And so you go to King's Books, I guess, online, or you call them to order a book, and you go ahead and pull up, and they throw the book. They literally will throw the book, because, I mean, you got to be at least 6 feet away. And so they throw it at your head.
It's part of the fun.
I mean, they don't throw it at you, but, you know, they toss it in your general direction.
There's definitely a lot of escapist read because the world. And then a lot of people are getting books that are kind of obscure that have been that have been on their list for a while, and now they have time to read.
Yeah, good for folks to do some reading. I've said to myself, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read.
You haven't read a single page.
I haven't read a single page. And by the way, I have a book from my favorite... One of my favorite authors just came out with a new book, The End of a Series. I still have not read it. And by the way, I just got another book in the mail that I said I was going to read. Still haven't read it.
And you just talked to Pete Hegseth in American Crusade.
About his book, still haven't read it.
Brian Kilmeade.
Well, his book I read a while ago, to be fair. Because it was a new book on paperback. It's not a new book. I've literally read nothing. We just had a 3-day weekend where I was complaining the entire time with friends on text. I'm so bored. I could have read it. I chose not to. So I'm having the opposite impact. Like, coronavirus having the opposite effect on me.
Plus, everyone has a Kindle already. Why do we need a bookstore?
I went back to reading on regular books. I don't like the Kindle anymore. I'm a little hot and cold on that. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. Will Attorney General Bill Barr get involved here in Washington State? Maybe. We'll talk about it when we come back. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. A group of Republican lawmakers have sent a letter to Attorney General Bill Barr asking for the Department of Justice to intervene in what's going on here in Washington State. They argue that Governor Jay Inslee and others are using the coronavirus to violate our constitutional rights. One of the lawmakers who signed on to the letter is State Representative Luann Van Verven, the Republican from Linden, and she joins me now. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jason. I'm glad to be here.
So take us through this letter.
Well, what it is it's a letter that was sent to Attorney General Barr, and it was signed by 10 Republican lawmakers. There would have been a lot more, but we had a really tight time frame that we just wanted to get the letter out. Basically, what we do is we ask the Attorney General to review Governor Inslee's proposed both the contact tracing and also the scheme to isolate and quarantine people as a result of if they had been exposed to someone who tested positive. And so we, as a group of state lawmakers, asked for the Attorney General to just review this to see if the rights of our citizens were violated in connection to privacy and the things that matter most to the people in our districts.
So as it relates to contact tracing, take us through your concerns as a lawmaker.
Well, my concerns is that what is starting out as a volunteer effort could quickly become a mandatory effort. And I know that we've been told by the governor's office that it's not going to start out as anything where they're, you know, tracking our phones or anything, that it's going to be voluntary, but it will include, you know, calls to our home. You know, if someone tests positive, they give the contact tracers names of anybody that they came in contact with and contact information. So then either a call or a visit to our home. And I believe that is an invasion of our privacy. And we just want to be sure that what the governor is doing does comply with our constitutional rights. I personally believe that it is constitutionally suspect, and we have asked the governor or the attorney general to take a look at this.
So in a perfect world, how would it work in a way that you think would be respectful of constitutional rights? So, for example, let's say you and I both happen to go to the Fred Meyer and we learn that there was some kind of outbreak as a result of someone who was COVID positive at that Fred Meyer. How in that scenario should the governor's office or any office, public official, trace that or alert people to the potential of an outbreak or an exposure?
Well, normally this is handled with our local health departments. And this is a typical response. You know, if it's somebody comes in contact with somebody, you know, with tuberculosis or other communicable diseases, but it's usually, you know, taken care of at the local health department level, and is an appropriate thing to do. We're concerned that this is being administered at the level, the state level of, you know, the governor's office. And I think at this point we have evidence that the governor has overstepped his authority, and so we are concerned that it goes from a voluntary process to a mandatory process. So it is appropriate, certainly, if someone is exposed to a communicable disease, that, you know, that there be, you know, prudent efforts made to notify these people, but it quickly can become something that is no longer voluntary but mandatory, and we're concerned about that.
If you're just joining me, we're talking with Representative Luann Van Werven, a Republican from Linden, about a letter that was written on behalf of the state GOP. 10 state representatives, all Republicans, signed on, asking them to take a look at the guidance coming down in the stay-at-home order from the governor. You don't just talk about contact tracing. The letter also attacks the phase-in approach from the governor. What's the problem, in your view, with the four phases?
Well, the problem I have with these four phases is that it is not a viable plan to start or restart our economy. It is illogical and contradictory. Mm-hmm. And I guess my biggest concern is that it applies a set of rules to religious gatherings that aren't applied to non-religious gatherings. And churches are not being allowed to open up as quickly as others. And I'm just getting questions on a daily basis about who is actually supposed to, you know, be allowed to open in phase two or phase three, phase four. And I think the problem, if we follow this through, the governor himself has said it's going to be at least 3 weeks between phases. Well, that starts quickly bringing us towards the, you know, into July, August. And so in order to carry out these four phases, I'm concerned that he's going to have to renew his 30-day shutdown for each phase. And so, I mean, the longer this goes on, the more damage to our economy, the more damage to the lives and livelihood, you know, of so many people in Washington State. And I just, you know, I'm just so frustrated and burdened by all the hurting people that I come in contact with, you know, through my email or phone, talking with people on a daily basis. It's gone on too long, and it really does need to. We need to be able to restart our economy as long as we can do it safely.
Well, the latest news that came out last week is just maddening. So we've got a Nigerian crime ring was able to take hundreds of millions of dollars from taxpayers here in Washington State. They got paid out of the unemployment fund, and yet I've got listeners who are going on 10 weeks now who not only have not received any check, they haven't even received a phone call or an email after making several dozen phone calls and sending several dozen emails trying to figure out the situation. Why does Susie Levine, the commissioner of the Employment Security Department, why does she still have a job?
Well, and I don't even know what makes her qualified to even be.
She has no qualifications.
ESD. Yeah.
And, she was an ambassador. She was ambassador to Liechtenstein. This is not someone who has the capability of handling something like this. And I think it's very clear, based on this swindle, based on this scam, that she has no idea what she's doing.
And she's been appointed by the governor. So let's not remove that accountability
100%.
For the governor.
He should fire her right now.
Yes. Yes, he should. And but this was preventable. That's the part that is so frustrating.
Yep.
This did not need to happen. And how it happened, you know, obviously, you know, protocols were overlooked along the way. And just like you said, I'm hearing from so many people who they don't even know how they can pay their rent or their mortgage. Some are concerned about feeding their families because they have not received the you know, unemployment benefits that they are due them because of these hundreds of millions of dollars that have gone, you know, to defraud, you know, to fraud. And it is unacceptable, and something needs to be done today.
Well, I hope you guys keep putting on as much pressure on this Inslee administration as possible. I know it's a little bit difficult right now, given the fact that, one, you're not in session, and number two, you guys don't have the power in the House and the Senate that you once did. But this is a good reminder for folks. Elections matter, and there are a lot of elections that are coming, a lot of races that are coming up that are incredibly important. Of course, that starts with Governor Jay Inslee. So make sure you guys at home are doing what needs to be done to get the word out for whichever candidate you think is best suited to take on Inslee. But I will say this, any one of those five that are currently running would do a better job in this environment than Governor Jay Inslee. We've been talking with State Representative Luann Van Orven. Thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Jason Rantz Show. We've got another hour coming up right here on KTTH.